Hare Krishna. After describing many verses about Nishkama Karma Yoga, now Krishna is going to speak something about Bhakti Yoga. Let's see this wonderful shloka, shloka number 30. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. So here Krishna is saying, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. He is saying that surrendering all your work, karmani, all your work onto me, Mai. And then he says, Adhyatma chetasa, in full knowledge of me. So here Adhyatma chetasa, it means full knowledge of me or full knowledge of the body and soul. Basically, the knowledge of soul. And then, now he is giving three important qualities. First, he says, Nirashir. Nirashir here basically means without desires for profit. He is not thinking what he will get in return. And then, Nirmamo Bhutva. So what is that Nirmamo Bhutva? Without having the attitude or the mood of proprietorship, the claim for proprietorship. And Vigata Jvaraha. He is free from lethargy. And the instruction Krishna is giving is, Yudhyasva, O Arjuna, fight. So basically here Krishna is saying that surrender all your work to me and don't desire for any profit. Don't claim proprietorship to anything. And third, he's very clear, be free from lethargy, O Arjuna, fight for my pleasure. So this is the shloka that Krishna is telling here. Let's understand these words, Nirashir, Nirmamo, Bhutva and Vigata Jvaraha. Very, very important words to understand. So Prabhupada says, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious is called Adhyatma Chetasa. So basically, the one who understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is called as Adhyatma Chetasa. He is on the spiritual platform, fully Krishna conscious platform. Next, Nirashihi means that one has to act on the order of the master but should not expect fruitive results. So this is a very nice point to understand. Where the servant, now when it comes to a servant, he is always busy serving the master. There is no expectation. If master is pleased, the master will give something. But servant as himself, he will not go forward and ask, see, I did this thing for you. Now I want these things from you. So a servant, selflessly he will serve. So that is the quality that is called as Nirashihi. No expectation for profit. And next one that is given is no proprietorship. Now, nice example is given by Prabhupada. He says, the cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mai or on to me. When one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama or nothing is mine. So, the very nice analogy, the cashier might count many millions of dollars, but then he does not claim anything for himself because he knows that it doesn't belong to me. So, in this way, a Krishna conscious person, he understands that everything belongs to Krishna. And what am I supposed to do? I am just the caretaker. I am just the caretaker and nothing else. When this mood goes inside, when he imbibes this mood very nicely, what happens? At that time, the purport of Mai, onto me, is fulfilled. So he starts rendering service to the Lord by utilizing everything that Krishna has given. He surrenders everything to the Lord. Why? Because everything belongs to the Lord. Very logical. And that is bhakti. And then it is given that in this mood, when he acts, he does not claim any proprietorship over anything. And this is called as Nirmama. Nirmama means nothing is mine. Now externally the person might say, in general a materialist might say, no, nothing is mine here. No, it's all maya, it's all illusion, with time it will go away. But he's completely attached to all that. But when it comes to a Krishna conscious devotee, what happens to him? He understands that everything belongs to Krishna. I'm just a caretaker. Everything means even including this body. I'm just the caretaker. And with that mode, he executes his duties in day-to-day life. And he's not attached to anything and he's not feeling that he's the proprietor of anything.
Right.
Like for example, when someone goes in the train, he has booked a seat and then he's sitting on the seat, sleeping on the seat, spending time on the seat. And when his station comes, he has to get down. Now he cannot say that, no, yeah, I'll remove all the screws and nut bolts and take the seat with me. No, I booked this seat. No, it was just given to use for some time till we reach the destination. Similarly, this body, people around, things around, everything is given to us so that we utilize all that to reach the ultimate destination. That ultimate destination is actually Krishna. But then at times, all the time, we just keep changing the body from one body to another, and we keep shifting our destination from one to next. And what are we doing in this entire process? We are giving up, whatever we were attached to, we are giving up, and then we're going to some other destination, getting attached to something else. And like this, the entire life just goes. So in this way, a person, who is Krishna conscious, he understands, I'm not the proprietor of anything in this world. Everything belongs to Krishna. I should use all this in service of Krishna. That is nirmama. And then, if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen, in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigata jvara or without feverish mentality or lethargy. So there is no question of becoming lethargic. There is no question of feeling the fever of kinsmen. One has to execute whatever duty is for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the different points that Krishna has mentioned till now. And then he is telling Arjuna, Yudhasva, fight. Fight for my pleasure. So what exactly Krishna is telling here? This verse, that is 330, the verse that we are discussing, it resonates very nicely with the verse number 45 from chapter 2. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nitva Sattvasto Niryogakshema Matmavan. So that shloka says that, O Arjuna, come above the three modes of material nature and execute your duties. Here also Krishna is saying, come above the three modes of material nature and execute the duties. Where is he saying that? So here, Krishna is saying that Adhyatma Chetasa. So Adhyatma Chetasa, it means the knowledge of Atma, knowledge of the Lord. So that is actually the knowledge in mode of goodness. And the second one, he is talking about Nirashir, Nirmamo, Bhutva. Expectation of profit or claiming proprietorship, that is mode of passion. So the person is in the mode of passion when he is doing that. And then vigata jvaraha, lethargy, is in ignorance. So Krishna is saying, O Arjuna, no, you are just stuck in these three. Come above them and do what? Come in full knowledge of me. And then he adds a line there, surrendering everything onto me. Now this line makes it very, very perfect. What is perfect now? Now this line actually brings the person above the three modes of material nature to pure goodness. And when he's in pure goodness, that can be called as bhakti yoga. So just by this line, Krishna has converted all the nishkama karma yoga section into the bhakti yoga. So what is bhakti yoga? Bhakti yoga is the detached work done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whenever we have this pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead as the goal, that is bhakti yoga. So in this way we understand Krishna is asking Arjuna that give up all these things and just work for my pleasure. Now there are various nice points that Prabhupada is mentioning. He is saying that this verse clearly indicates the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So what is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? Working for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. Because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. our constitutional position is what? Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. We are eternal servants of Krishna and we have to serve Krishna. That is what is our eternal constitutional position. Now we have to serve Krishna means what? We have to understand what is Krishna's desire and execute the same. So we are subordinate to Krishna's desires. So that's what is mentioned here. And one has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Here Arjuna was not interested to fight. He was attached to so many people around there. But then he started fighting for the pleasure of Krishna. He became a great example for many, many people to come. So it's a very wonderful point that we understand here is, no, we have to sacrifice things for the pleasure of the Lord. We have to sacrifice our ego. We have to sacrifice our attachments for the pleasure of the Lord so that we get closer to the Lord. It's not that Lord is getting benefited. We will get benefited when we start practicing bhakti. Because we are going to break the cycle of birth and death and we are going to become eternal or go back to our eternal home. So who is getting benefited here? But Krishna is very, very merciful. He speaks as if he will get the benefit. He's like, if you all don't work, then what will happen to me? You know, this is how he speaks. But the fact is, he is Sarva Karana Karanam, cause of all causes. He does not need anyone or anything. But then he's so merciful that he wants all the living entities stuck in the cycle of birth and death to come back home, back to Godhead, to go back to him. This is what his mood is. So it is very nicely given in Shastra that how can we purify ourselves? Everyone according to his quality and position has a particular type of work to discharge and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. So all our work, we have to be very innovative to make sure that every activity of ours is turned into Krishna conscious activity. The mood has to be changed. The mood is, I'm not working for any profit for myself. I'm not a proprietor of anything. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. If this is the mood while doing any activity, that activity becomes Krishna conscious activity. And just imagine, when we're doing Krishna conscious activities every single day, what will happen? We will become fully Krishna conscious, fully purified, and we'll attain the ultimate destination. But then it will not be so easy. So it's very important that every single day, obviously we should keep trying to do this what Krishna is telling. Along with that, the Mahamantra chanting should go on. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When this Mahamantra chanting goes on, cleansing will be faster, purification will be faster. Right? Now having said all this, Krishna is going to tell that if you do this, what you will get, what you will gain. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.